Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for staying with me. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll use it to your advantage and check it out whenever you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter while you're there. Don't forget to check out our blog, which is what the handy thing about the blog is. Everything that we've done lately is right there on the blog. It keeps everything that's current right up front. And that's one of the ways we use the blog. The other way we use it is to send you what we do. If you want to subscribe, if you know how to use Real Simple Syndication, if you don't have that technology, we'll make it available to you for free. You can find two or three different ways of getting it right there on our website. So I hope you'll take advantage of that. And the blog is growing like crazy. It's very interesting to see how people are attracted to blogs. Judith Cohn is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's a new friend, one of the many friends that we now have made with the Kauffman Foundation. She's vice president there, and many of you know that I've been talking to you about the Kauffman Foundation. I was telling you about them long before I had any of their folks on the show, because I think they do a wonderful job, and Mr. Kauffman is certainly an American hero. And Judith, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you here, and what a great job to work for a company, work for an organization that was founded by such a great American.
Well, it is indeed. You know, we just feel honored every day that we walk in this door to think about this Missouri guy that grew up on a farm with nothing, no advantages in life, and
Ewing Merriam Kauffman.
Yes, absolutely. And to put into service all of the resources that he created to advance entrepreneurship, we think that we have the best jobs in the world.
Basically left his significant and vast estate to the promotion, the development, and the encouragement of entrepreneurs, didn't he?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
He saw what it did for him and his ability to create 3,000 jobs. That was the thing he was the most proud of.
Mm-hmm. He gave 3,000 Americans and their families mm-hmm. an opportunity to follow their own dreams, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And that is a great feeling. I'll tell you, as someone who haven't nearly made that many jobs, but as someone who has created a job or two, it is a good feeling to see people be able to live their lives and not only to grow financially and to do the things that people need to do with their money, but to follow a professional dream, to be productive and to be part of this great society.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Judith, I want to get into the e-venturing in a minute, but before we do, and you're going to be surprised about this, you're new to the show, but I always have two or three little tricks up my sleeve, Judith.
Okay.
You just got back from Europe.
Yes, I did.
How did you find it?
I found it wonderful. I thought it was a great experience. We have a few connections that the Kauffman Foundation is working with a few people
right.
in Europe. And so part of it was going to France, which is not noted as an entrepreneurial country,
even though
the name entrepreneur came from French.
At all.
At all. But to go visit a school that was purchased, it's like our Wharton MBA school.
Right.
And it was purchased by some businessmen. And they have turned it into a complete entrepreneurship business school, and it's amazing to see it. So there's some good things happening.
Well, there are pockets of mm-hmm. sanity in Europe, Judith.
Yeah. But they are pockets.
They are pockets, and mm-hmm. there are free traders over there, but they're in the tiny, tiny minority. There are people who believe in lower taxes over there and less government over there.
Right.
We just had John Bertu with the National Taxpayers Union on in the last hour, and he just got back from a World Taxpayers Conference over there.
Really?
And countries all over the world converged in the Central Europe to talk about what they can do to lower taxes, to lower government, to expand and encourage free trade. And so it's encouraging to hear that there are those kinds of things going on. And I want to thank the Kauffman Foundation for whatever part you guys play in all that.
Well, yes, there are some significant conversations going on in Europe about the role of government and the role of entrepreneurship. And entrepreneurship and bureaucracy and big government don't live well together.
Well, they don't. And entrepreneurs really have to fight. They have to work a lot harder than they should in Europe, don't they?
Well, the tax burden and the regulatory environment is much stricter than it is in the United States, so they do have an uphill battle.
The barrier to entry, if the maximum you can't get through barrier to entry is a 10, and walk you know, you walks in to entrepreneurship is a 0. In America, it's about a 2, and in Europe, it's about a 8.
Probably so.
Yeah,
I think if you're an entrepreneur starting it, you feel like 2 feels maybe more like 5 or 6.
Well, it might be. It could be.
But they don't understand that it's
that's
relative.
Right. Stand by. Judith Cohn is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's with the Kauffman Foundation. We come back. We're going to talk about e-venturing, the new website that they have. I think you're going to be interested in this. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Sure plays a mean pinball.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our new friend, Judith Cohn, Vice President with the Kauffman Foundation. Judith, we're talking, just to finish up a little bit on the Europe situation. I was in Italy a couple of years ago and was interviewing entrepreneurs over there, small business owners over there, people who own bed and breakfasts and that sort of thing. And what they were telling me was about some of the things that's going on in industry over there. As you know, Fiat's having lots of trouble. And as you also know, a lot of people in the European countries, actually not even just in Europe, but in a lot of the other parts of the world, many, many of the people who live in those countries work for the government in some form or fashion.
Right.
And so Italy started laying off people. They started having to lay off people from the government, and of course Fiat laid off a lot of people, and that was something that never happened before.
Right.
And so they said, they asked their employers, what are we supposed to do now? They didn't actually had no idea. They never, you know, it never occurred to them what else they could do. And the government and their employers told them, you need to go start a small business.
Hmm.
That's exactly what they told them.
Wow.
How about that?
That's very interesting, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
It's not so long ago in our history that we thought we had lifetime employment with big business.
Mm-hmm. And we were adopted by major corporations.
Exactly. Yeah. And remember the shock that covenant started breaking down.
Yeah. Well, I don't, see, mm-hmm. I think it wasn't a covenant. I think it was a myth.
Well, definitely a myth, yes, absolutely.
Don't we?
Right.
Well, see, that's the reason why, Judith, and as a person who heads up the entrepreneurship strategy for Kauffman, you know that the 20th century was a century of the major corporation, mm-hmm. and the 21st century, as I've been saying since 1998, is the century of the entrepreneur.
I believe that.
Yeah, everything, and every day that goes by, something new happens to make that look like it's true more and more.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, I think if you look at R&D and how big business used to do R&D in-house, and they still do, but now, especially in the tech world, they sit by and they watch small businesses. So here's Google, Yahoo, and Microsoft mm-hmm. sitting back watching somebody start a new technology.
Right.
And they wait till they get the venture money, till they get the customers, proof of concept. They get it all laid out, and then somebody comes in and makes a great offer.
Right.
And buys the company, and that's their R&D strategy.
And good for those small companies.
Well, yeah. And so, you know, so that plays a very important role in invention and innovation.
Well, and by the way, this is National Inventors Month.
Ah,
speaking
there you
of that.
Go.
But you know, Judith, That's a very important point there. The SBA says 55% of all innovations are created by small businesses
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
in America.
Yeah.
And so now tell us about this e-venturing program that you guys are launching now.
Well, it's a website targeted to those who want to grow a company. It's not to say that if you're a sole proprietor and you want to stay small that there's not a lot of valuable information on this website. There is. But it is written toward the customer who wants to grow. Now, you could be pre-startup. but you have a product or a desire or you're in an industry that looks like you have a chance for growth. So everything we do on the website is skewed with that growth-oriented entrepreneur in mind.
All right. Give us some examples of what might, we might find there. I know you've got articles and information there from a lot of different authors.
Yeah, there's a wide range of information on the site. What we decided to do is to get create content and that would be relevant for the audience. And so we went out and we recruited high-growth entrepreneurs, people who have already been through it, and asked them if they would actually be the content providers. So we have a staff of writers that work with them, and sometimes we ghostwrite, depending. And so they create the content from their experiences. So, for example,
a real-life River Meets the Road stories.
Absolutely, yes. It's real, it's relevant, it's fresh because, you know, this new content is created constantly. And, you know, we have a lot of partners, web partners. So Wall Street Journal Online actually comes to our site and picks up the new content and then republishes it on their site. And they told us that, you know, it's a real compliment to the content because that's pretty rare for them to republish.
Right.
And we have a lot of other partners, military.com. So we have a very broad distribution beyond our own URL.
And give us that website, please.
It is eventuring.org.
Eventuring.org.
.org.
And so now, is there any kind of a newsletter or anything like that that you guys are distributing through that?
You know, we have sign up and we have a blog.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah, right. So you can go on the homepage and you can see the
blog.
Can
we subscribe to the blog or just go there?
You know, I think we have RSS feeds that you can, you know, down at the very bottom of the homepage, there's an RSS.
More and more people are getting into RSS.
Well, you know, RSS is just a beautiful tool.
It is.
And if you're not familiar with it as one of the listeners, just it's simple. It is something that you sign up and it gets pushed to you. So that is so nice.
And it's not like it doesn't come in the email. See, I actually believe RSS could one day replace email marketing.
Yes.
Because you don't have the spam issue.
Right.
And you only get it from people who you've gone to their site and you know, you specifically connected to them through RSS. It's an interesting technology. And folks, as you know, that's how my blog comes to you. And, and you can find the technology at eventuring.org or at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And you can subscribe to my blog and Judith's blog.
There you go.
Do it all at once, folks. It'll make your day. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Judith Cohn is our guest. She's with the Kauffman Foundation, and we'll be right back.
There'll be the hunter whose face is on bright, blessing the traveler who journeyed the length of the light.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our new friend, Judith Cohn. Judith is a new friend, soon-to-be old friend, and the newest member of our Brain Trust, one of the many outstanding individuals who are part of the Kauffman Foundation, the great work that they do for entrepreneurs. And Judith, on behalf of small business owners, on behalf of entrepreneurs, in fact, many who have been impacted by the work that you do but probably may not even know it, we thank you.
Well, thank you.
Kauffman Foundation is a very important organization, folks. And I want you to give us the Kauffman website as well.
It is www.kauffman.org.
And if you don't know the Ewing Marion Kauffman story, folks, I really encourage you. It's a great American success story and just a wonderful feel-good story. And has the movie been made about him yet?
Yes, it has, hasn't it? And it's a wonderful, wonderful movie.
Yeah, I was thinking that it had, and so if you ever get a chance to see that, folks, you want to do it. What have we learned about some of the challenges that businesses have that the eVenturing website is addressing?
Well, again, as we focus on the issues of growth, I think that's where we look at, number one, the people that you have on your team. Because You hear this often from VCs and other and angels and other investors that say, you know, I'll bet on the jockey. Mm-hmm. And that means that if you get the right team together, you can overcome so many of your obstacles. But if you don't have the right people on board, it's just such an uphill battle. So it's always people, 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 people. And then mm-hmm. the rest of it, they'll figure it out.
Well, they want to see that your model, if and this is whether you're talking about venture capitalists or angels or even bankers,
mm-hmm.
Anybody who's going to become a stakeholder in your organization, and the organizations, the people that you're trying to reach with this e-venturing are people who are very much likely to have outside stakeholders in their mix, aren't they?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And so they're certainly they want to make sure that your business model is important. They want to make sure you got some experience. They want to see if they'd like to think that you've got some kind of market penetration. But if you don't have the credentials on your organizational layout there, if you can't show them that you've got critical mass with your people, they're going to mm-hmm. drive on by, aren't they?
Right, absolutely. Because you can have the best business model, and it's all about execution. And so people are the ones that make it come to life. So yes, you know, as a default, as a just a requirement, you have to have the right product at the right time, the right strategy for penetration, mm-hmm. the right business model, you know, something that is a compelling pitch to your customers. That's all great, and you can write the best business plan in the world. But if you can't execute on that, then it doesn't matter how great that is. And sometimes you can have a weaker blueprint, but the creativity of your people actually work around all of those shortcomings and bring things to life.
And that's one of the reasons why a lot of these companies will attract the best talent when they don't have all the cash
right.
that they need to pay them by offering them a piece of the action.
Yes. And, you know, I was at Harvard last week, and I was listening to a case being presented, and this man sold his company to Procter & Gamble for $450 million. He had 12 employees.
Nice little
Yeah.
What?
And you know what it is? He started out with a lollipop, like a Tootsie Roll Pop, and he put it on a stick that spins. Have you ever seen these?
No.
The little kids, instead of having to suck the darn thing, can hit the button and it spins in their mouth.
You know, when I think about the terrorists wondering about if America's going to make it or not, and they say, we can beat them. They don't even lick their own lollipops.
That's right. Except we're so inventive, we made a lollipop that spins.
Yeah, but they don't see it that way.
So he took that idea of something on a stick that spins, and he created toothbrushes for $5. So now we all know these electronic toothbrushes that are now $5 mm-hmm. instead of $110.
Right.
And that's the product that Procter & Gamble wanted. But here's the thing about his company. He had 12 employees, and he hired people that were better than the moment that mm-hmm. they were, what, the skills that they needed at that moment.
Right.
He bought up. And so when he was ready to get a distributorship through Walmart, he had hired a person who already knew how to sell to Walmart.
Who knew how to do that. Very smart.
Right.
And it turned into a nice little paycheck for him.
Yes, it did.
Give us that website again.
E-Venturing is EVENTURING.org.
E-Venturing.org. Thank you, Judith, for being here. Good job today.
Thank
we'll see you.
You
next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.